Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, I'm Lily Sullivan, and I play Dr. Deep on my podcast, Going Deep, which, if you didn't know, you're listening to right now. September is Going Deep Month on Earwolf Presents, so drink those filthy martinis and listen to this episode from our first season. This one is with Heather Ann Campbell and Nick Weiger. I truly did not see this one coming. I was so surprised, as I'm sure you'll be, by the dynamic with this couple. It's so funny, and they're so much fun to improvise with. Thanks again for listening, and check out season two of Going Deep on Stitcher Premium. To get a free month of Stitcher Premium, go to stitcher.com/premium and use promo code DEEP. Enjoy.
What you're about to hear is a totally real, not fake couples counseling session. It contains bad words, sex stuff, and therapeutic techniques that are not legally allowed to be used inside the United States. For the purposes of maintaining confidentiality, names and some identifiable characteristics were meant to be removed. However, we did not have enough time.
Hey, this is Guy Mann.
Hello, this is Helga Mann.
My wife, Helga, and I have kind of a tense relationship where it feels like we can't really communicate.
The first, you know, you go through the romantic period, and then you go through the nesting period, and then you go through the familiarity phase. And I feel like the familiarity phase is just too familiar.
Hold on one second. Bye. Buy the stock.
And I'm not talking like black cat familiar. I'm not talking about like I have an owl and it is my dark familiar.
Sorry, I'm a businessman. I had some business to take care of.
The bathroom door is left open when it's time for him to poop.
I hope you can help us communicate. I hope you can help us have a breakthrough.
I hope you can solve our problems. Goodbye. Okay, which button? Which button is the escape? I'm just going to turn off the whole foot.
I can begin. So me and my wife, there's just some tension, I think, that just comes from, you know, my job and our finances and what she wants out of a domestic life versus what I want. To be a little more specific, like, I am a businessman.
Mm.
I work in business, the field of business.
Sure.
And so I'm often busy, you know, taking meetings, doing reports, balancing the books, business-related tasks.
Yes.
And, you know, as such, I'm very conscious of our own personal finances, and they've become a little bit strained, I think, because of...
You can say it.
It's because of Helga's.
I bought another oven, and there's been an argument about it. There's been an argument, like as if there is a limit to the number of ovens that somebody can have in their house.
Another oven.
Yeah, I mean when it was two ovens, it was already a little odd to me. I mean, I'm just used to be there. We have two people. I don't think we only need one oven. That's good enough. But I was fine with one extra oven, two extra ovens. You know, when it reached that threshold, I was like, okay, this is maybe becoming a thing. And now it seems excessive at this point.
I don't appreciate when somebody puts a limit on my person. Like, I can't have a small oven for like home cooking, a larger oven in case we had like a larger, like a piece of game.
How many ovens?
We have several of what?
How many ovens are we talking about?
Dr. Deep, we're at five. We have five ovens.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want, when you say it like that, it's not like, oh, it, no, who has four ovens? Well, I've seen a house with two kitchens. You want one of those to be ovenless?
Well, how many kitchens do you have?
One.
Okay, so that's a lot of ovens.
If yeah. I came across a large amount of meat that needed to be cooked at one time, like a child size amount of meat.
A child size? That's not like that should, much, is it?
Huh?
A child's, oh, you mean like as if a whole child was yes. made yes. of meat?
This yes. is part a child's of, this is part amount of the issue.
Meat. A child's amount of meat. You cannot get a child's amount of meat into a standard oven without significant chopping. It's a lot of. I just want to have. I
such
I don't
a
understand.
Weird
I'm
way
cooking
to put
in
it.
The house.
Very
He's so
specific.
Ungrateful. He's doing PowerPoint all day long, and he comes home and there's a delicious meal. Whose job is that?
Huh? Look. I appreciate your cooking, and I'm trying not to say, you know, I'm trying not to accuse you of anything. I'm just saying, as a businessman, you know, my business is business, and I'm absolutely. Conscious of the bottom line, and it seems like we have some of these ovens just being vacant and unused, and they're
now.
Just kind of, well, I'm saying, but you're planning for an eventuality that may never come. And also,
well,
I just want to.
That's only because you won't invite your niece over.
This is part of the issue, is that Helga has alienated my family due to her fixation on acquiring what she calls a child-sized portion of meat. A lot of my relatives, my siblings with children are alarmed by that choice of words.
Oh. I'm
this
sorry.
Is a measurement for you, Helga?
English is not my first language.
It sounds like it is. I mean,
well, thank you very much. I've been working
you have
so hard.
I travel all over Europe, and I can understand everything you're
Europe.
Saying.
I
and
love Europe.
I have that problem when I travel, where I said, "What are you saying?" You, I understand perfectly.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Eastern European country?
Albania.
Oh, I love it.
Good choice.
Oh, is it
stunning.
Great?
Stunning.
Deep, dark forest there. Lots of the old world.
Oh, okay. I guess I didn't know. I mostly traveled to the cities and the coast.
Oh, no. You can go. You can walk. Let's say you're bringing somebody into the forest with you. You can walk for 3 or 4 days without seeing any. No civilization.
A child? No. Is that what you said? A child into the forest?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't. I have not walked with a child in the woods of Albania. But a person, if you were to escort a person, you could walk for days, leaving behind, I don't know, candy or something behind you so that you know how to get back out.
One of the most beautiful things about love is that it can happen to anyone, anywhere. Love doesn't care if you're a sexy cosmetic salesman from Guadalajara or a naughty glove maker from Dubrovnik. Love will penetrate any border. This is exactly how Helga and Guy fell for each other. She from somewhere beautiful and romantic in Eastern Europe, and he from somewhere boring and dull like the Midwest. And though their love crossed many boundaries, this couple is learning they have boundaries of their own.
I just feel like we used to have an understanding between us.
Mm. Yeah.
I didn't bother him about like did you get the parking space? Did you get the parking space that you wanted? I'm not going to judge my husband on that. And suddenly everything's become so specific and nitty gritty.
I wish you would ask if I got the parking space. It would feel like you cared about my job at the business. But it feels like you don't.
Did you get the parking spot, Guy?
I didn't, no.
So did that make you feel good when you had to answer that way?
Well, it felt like somebody cared.
I
felt like
knew.
Somebody cared about another person, not just acquiring more ovens and replacing our aluminum siding with gingerbread.
How about this? How about this? How about this?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I scattered some chicken bones, and I knew that you didn't get the parking space and knew it would be a sensitive subject.
So you cursed him? Is that what you said?
What? Oh, no. I don't curse my husband. I love my husband. I love him. He smells delicious.
Helga, just a couple of quick questions.
Yes.
So is this part of your culture? Everything you're talking about, you know, is because I'm very sensitive to other people's cultural differences. And, you know, for example, you know, in Italy, instead of saying that the rooster goes cockle-doodle-doo, you know, they say kikidiki.
Kikidiki. Oh, I like that.
That's
fun.
And so I'm realizing with some of the stuff you're saying, maybe I'm not fully, you know, grasping it because maybe in whatever country you're from, you know, maybe the measurements that they use are, you know, a small child size of this or...
Yes.
What was it?
Well, there's man-sized, child-sized, cat-sized, like a snack. You know, I don't need to...
Yeah, you said cat size is a snack.
You guys say a foot. Like, that's horrifying. How do you measure? In severed feet? That's, I mean, well, no, I'm not one to judge.
A foot means 12 inches, right?
It's the average size of a human foot.
Which my feet are actually much bigger. Yeah. 17, 18.
Mm. Wow.
I can fit, you know, I have I could fix that for you if it bothers you.
Oh, no, I like it. Men love a woman with big feet.
I love my husband. Husband has small feet, very delicate.
Because they are from two different cultures, they're living by two different sets of rules. What's normal to Guy or me might be weird to Helga. Similarly, what's normal to her might sound very scary and fucked up to us. This sensation is called culture shock, and it's what makes traveling abroad so much fun. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to a new country, explored the art, food, and culture, and sat down with a dirty martini after a long day and said, wow, that was fucked up. Translating one culture to another can be difficult, but thankfully this couple has me, the most culturally literate person on the planet, to help them navigate their culture shock.
Why don't you guys tell me a little bit about how you met?
This is a great story. So
I
was on a vacation by myself, backpacking through Europe. It's gorgeous, picturesque. Boy, I wish I could be doing
beautiful.
It right now. I'm in one of the European nations.
I love how specific this is.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a businessman. I function in specifics. You know, you got to be specific at the business, which is where I work. So I was in one of these European nations, and I got to the edge of a dark, foreboding forest. But in the distance, I could smell something delicious.
Ooh!
And so I just sort of, you know, against my better judgment, I traipsed my way through this forest until I came across the source of the smell, which was in fact a domicile. Made of delicious treats.
Oh.
It was like an edible arrangement that you live in.
Wow.
And
I miss that place. You ever have like a nostalgia for like one of your first houses out of, you know, like when you first move away from the folks, you're like, oh, I'm just getting myself together. I've got to make weird choices in furniture. That was a lot of what I had to do. I was like, I can't afford siding, so I'll use some candy canes.
You built it all out of... candy and food?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Marshmallows, gingerbread, delicious crunchy chocolate.
Yeah.
Anyway, he comes knocking at my door.
And you remember what you said when I opened up that door? You opened up that door and you saw me standing there.
I said, if ye had stolen my pumpkins, a curse be upon you and your family.
Yeah.
But it turned out... no pumpkin stealing.
Just stumbled upon it.
Yes.
And then just one thing led to another, or?
Oh, I don't want to be vulgar, but we were consummate within the day. It was like bing, bang, boom. We had read the same books, heard the same songs, like... I could not believe I was off grid for a while out there. So I hadn't spoken to a lot of human beings. Sparks flew. It was beautiful.
Yeah, I remember you had that, you know, that there was just like a giant pie tin with some crust in it. And you told me to lie down in there. It was very warm. And I was like, sure, yeah, why not? You know, when in this country, why not?
Yes.
And I got in there and you got in there with me.
I got in with, I had a different plan for that pie tin. I'll admit it. I wasn't just waiting for a man to knock on my door. I thought I might go to town and find one. But here it was.
What? Find what? Find a, one?
A man. I don't want to assume any. I thought maybe I would go into town and find a man, and I'd bring him back to my cabin and see if we could hit it off. But it felt like the fates had something in store for us.
Yeah. Wow. And at first I was a little uneasy because you kept referring to me not by my name, but as a man-sized portion of meat. So I was like, I saw that and the pie. I was just like a little, I was like, I don't know. But, you know, also I don't know your culture and maybe this is just how you talk. And hey, it worked out because we got nice and cozy in that tent.
He's got a man-sized portion of meat, if you know what I mean.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Though at first, Helga was rightfully irritated to see an annoying Birkenstock-wearing American backpacker at her door, and Guy was surprised when Helga asked him to climb into a gigantic pie tin, soon these two couldn't keep their hands off each other. They were each thrilled by the other's otherness. This makes me wonder what their sex life is like now that their cultural differences are no longer exciting.
So, how's the sex now?
I mean, it's, you know, kind of fallen off a cliff, I guess. Kind of non-existent.
Okay.
I spend a lot of time gathering during the day, and I'm tired. Yeah. I'm tired at the end of the day. I don't want to find myself in one of those relationships where you're just doing what the other person needs. I have needs, too, and sometimes that need is to sleep.
So, just to get a picture of what usually happens is, Guy, you come home, you're tired from your day of business, from organizing your files. Mm-hmm. And Helga, she's been working away in the kitchen, cooking up a storm or gathering, you said?
Yes.
And so, you know, do you guys embrace when you walk in the door, Guy? Do you ask him any questions, Helga? What does that look like? I want you to show me. I want you to pretend like, Guy, you've just come home, and I want to see what that looks like.
Okay.
So I'm supposed to just pretend I'm in the kitchen doing what I would normally do when he comes home?
Is this a cultural difference why you're not getting it?
Wait, no, I want to make sure that I understand in this game of pretend.
Yes.
I'm just doing what I do.
You are wherever you would normally be.
Okay.
When he comes home.
Okay. So, hum, I'm in the kitchen sorting bat swings and, I've got some rabbit's feet. What's going to be in the soup tonight? Soup tonight? String of mistletoe. Hang it over the door.
Can we pause for a second? I'm sorry, I don't want to disrupt the exercise, but this is a big issue, is that like I'm trying to come in the front door and I can't really find an opening. Like, she's got this big long song about all the tasks she's doing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like I feel like I'm interrupting just to come in and say like, hi, honey, I'm home.
I can see that. She doesn't leave a lot of space.
Yeah.
I really don't want to be the bad guy in this. I just want to be clear. My joy should not be a barrier for your literal entry into our relationship.
Okay. You know what? I'll be less, I guess this is part of the exercise. I'll be less tentative. I'll just sort of.
You know, yeah, I think why don't we try this? When you come in and Helga's, you're singing your song. It looks like you sing your song about all the things that you've gathered that day. Is that what I was catching?
Yeah. So, I like to sing a recipe. The notes will carry on the wind, and if somebody finds it appetizing, they might come hither this way. It's not, you know, it's like when you read about a menu online, and you're like, oh, I might go to that restaurant.
Do you sell the food, or?
Sell. I make exchanges.
So this is another source of tension in our marriage, is that I, you know, work in the field of business.
Yeah.
And Helga does not seem to understand capitalism.
Like, she's not the basic, exactly bringing in the bacon.
that's a one way to put it. Yeah. She, the idea of a, you know, medium of exchange, just basic concepts like currency, commerce are kind of lost on her.
Well, you know, in some cultures, they don't use money. They use.
Yeah.
You exchange services. For example,
sure,
you might trade a bowl of soup for your future daughter.
Huh. I wouldn't have thought of that.
So hungry. You look so hungry. I'll take your first bowl. This is an example, not. I haven't made the exchange.
Oh, good. Right. Okay, because I was going to say, let's get back to the exercise. So
yes,
when
I'm
you
sorry.
Come in and mm-hmm. Helga's singing her song, Guy, I think you should join her in the song. I think,
okay.
Why not sing about your day? And maybe Helga can make some room for you.
Oh, I would love that. That sounds nice.
Okay, let's try that out.
Would you knock when you're at the door?
Okay, I'll knock.
Okay. I have Newton's lizard's tail. Stay under the floorboards and don't make noise. Don't make noise. Stop making noise. Stop making noise. Honey,
knock,
is that you?
Knock, knock.
Okay, yes, hi. Hi. Hello.
Home from work, did the reports, went to a meeting, saw my boss, used the restroom, had a snack, taking off my shoes, sitting on the couch.
Okay, I'm going to stop you just for a second.
Uh-huh.
Guy, I didn't notice it up until this point, but something about you is incredibly boring. The song was so bad.
Right.
I couldn't listen to another second of it. Helga, okay. On the other hand, I was fully engaged in the song.
Yeah.
So many fun specifics about her day. And with you, I think I would love to hear a little bit more, you know, what shirt was your boss wearing, you know?
Right.
What were the reports about today?
I have a theory that I would like to put forth, which is that he lost his job months ago, and that's why he can't ever tell me about any of the specifics.
How dare you?
We are in a therapy session.
I work at a business.
Okay.
I go into the office.
I'm sorry.
Hang on a minute, though, Guy. What is the name of the business?
We have offices all over the world. Including in Helga's home country, so it's a pretty big business.
I understand that mm-hmm. the size of it is big. What is the name of the business, and what does the business do?
I mean, I can't really go into that because of NDAs and confidentiality agreements.
You can't even say vaguely what. Are you in the FBI? Are you a spy?
It's like office-y business.
Can you name some of the programs that you work with during the day?
You know, I'm loading up a computer. I got some files on there. It's sometimes you're just clicking between applications, you know, not really thinking about what they do. Just kind of making the numbers move on the screen. Hopefully they go up. I didn't get laid off, if that's what. Because this seems to be everyone's just accusing me that I got laid off months ago.
We're not accusing you.
Okay.
But I am going to say it does seem like you are lying and you don't have a job.
Helga's a witch.
What? No, I'm not. That's
Helga's a witch.
Oh, huh?
No, you're a witch. I can't believe you would use such defamatory language about a woman in your life. You're
I agree. Don't call women witches, okay?
You're
okay.
A bastard. Curse upon your house. A 1,000-year curse upon your house.
But now that you said it.
Blood poison. Your body will boil from the inside.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? It's all clicking for me. Everything that she's been saying this whole time, the child size, she meant a literal child. She meant she was going to, you were going to eat a child.
Oh, what is this? It's true crime documentary all of a sudden? The burden of proof is on you. I make a good soup. I sing a good song. I tell him, don't go in the basement, no matter what he wants. If there's something in the basement, I'll get it.
What's in the basement?
He doesn't ever go in the basement.
Helga, what's in the basement?
Nothing. What's in your basement?
Huh? Some old gym clothes. I save a lot of my old gym clothes.
They're called gym clothes. That's what's in mine.
I think you're both lying. Exercise. I think you're both lying to each other.
Okay, wow. Look at what my exercise exposed. Guy is a liar and Helga is a witch. I did not see that one coming. I'm used to having boring American men in my office, so I didn't quite notice that guy was hiding something. And I was so busy silently planning my next girls' trip to Albania with Helga that I completely overlooked all that stuff about her candy house and man-sized pie tin. Clearly, I'm off my game today. But now I'm back on track and ready to put these two liars in their place.
And I'm going to tell you a little story, okay? About,
I love a story.
About when someone I dated lied to me. Mm. I was in my early 30s, you know, was dating a young man named Travis. And we were together for, a few months. And I realized that, you know, my bank accounts were emptied. And then I realized that my landlord would say, where's the rent? Where's the rent? I say, I don't know. I paid it. Slowly but surely, we realized he had stolen my identity.
Oh no.
Travis.
That's awful.
He was living as me. He was going to my job at the curtain store. And I was there. You know, I didn't even notice he was working there as me.
Is he still around?
I dated him for 4 or 5 years after that,
and
then I finally left his ass.
Oh, good. Good.
Good for you.
Good.
For another man who ended up stealing a bunch of my cars. I had a few cars at the time.
Oh, see, so it's okay for a woman to have a lot of cars, but not a lot of ovens. I see.
Cars are a symbol of status.
Sure, yeah.
And wealth. That's not the point. The point is... These men stole from me.
Yes.
And they lied to me, though. That's what really matters. It doesn't matter if there's another man out there living as Diana Deep, or if there's another man out there who is driving my cars, or another man out there who's making little dolls that I used to make. That doesn't matter. What matters is he lied. All three of them lied.
That's
little dolls that you used to make?
I used to make little cloth dolls
that
I would arrange in, you know, them around a campfire or them, you know, in different scenarios.
If you say the right words to a little doll, it'll talk back to you.
No, Helga, no witch stuff.
Okay, I'm just saying, like, you just say the right words.
This is another source that at some point, you know, like any couple, we discussed having... Like a lot of couples discussed having children.
And I would love to have children over.
Helga was like, we could trap a child. That's one option. But the other thing is that we could animate, cloth or a porcelain figurine into a living being through some sort of incantation.
And what did you think about that option?
I just thought it was weird. I was like, I'd rather have like a kid the traditional way, you know.
Oh, well, I would like somebody's mind to be a little bit open to some of the more modern and feminist ways that one might acquire the children in your life. You don't have to always birth them your own. There's global warming is happening, and there's a lot of pressure to bring down the birth rate on the planet. So God forbid, I offer a couple alternatives.
Helga, it seems like every time we want to talk to you about being a witch, you get very defensive.
You get defensive. Mm-hmm.
And you start talking about feminism as though they're connected.
I just feel like a lot of my tendencies, you know, if he's uncomfortable raising a child who is not his own, I think that's something we need to discuss. And that is a feminist position.
It's not that. I just don't want a stack of wooden blocks that you turn into some sort of golem. I'm enrolling this like creature, you know, that's alive and not alive at once in mm-hmm. preschool. Like how are the other parents going to react to
that? Do
you
hear the language he's using? Creature? If it's an adopted child, it's a creature?
I don't mean it.
Horrible.
I'm not ruling out adoption. I'm ruling out using.
You're going to be canceled.
Okay.
Well, I certainly don't want that.
Deep breaths, everybody. Good, good. Okay. I can see my story resonated with them. And now we're getting to the good stuff. Turns out, lies are bad in all cultures. In order for them to move forward in their relationship, I need them to be honest with me and each other. No more lies. I want real, concrete facts. And I'm gonna get them.
Now, let's start with Guy. Both of you mm-hmm. are really fucked up, but I'm gonna start with Guy. Guy, in order for this to work, you need to stop lying to your wife. So okay. Let's get this story straight. Where do you work, or do you work anywhere?
I work at the fountain at the mall, fishing out change with a little net.
So that's not exactly a job. That's just what you go do?
Yeah, I mean, well, they let me hang around there, and they like they've gotten to know me, so it's like I'm kind of like a regular, so I consider it a job. I'm kind of self-employed, like a kind of entrepreneur sort is how I think of myself.
Okay.
And that I guess that's, you know, going into business for myself, betting on myself is I just felt like Helga would not believe in that.
First of all, how much are you bringing in at the fountain? How much cash are we talking about?
Like we just like an average day or?
Yeah, average day, average week.
I mean, day, you know, like $4 is a pretty good day.
So it's better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I get like $4.
For wet dollars. All of his money was wet. I always thought it was strange that he would open up his briefcase and there would be loose, wet money, coins, a couple of dollars. And I was like, what is the taxes situation? How is your processing your payroll? And he'd be like, look who's interested in my business whenever there's money around. And then we'd get into a fight and it wouldn't go further than that. But now
that's
I know.
What it felt like.
So it must have really hurt you financially when Helga bought all those ovens. That must have been how many, you know, weeks and months and years of your money, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's put me way in the red. It's a business term, like just negative. And I had to learn some of these things, you know,
thank
to
you
try
for
to
explaining
keep
that
the lie
to me.
Alive.
Helga, yes. How does it make you feel to finally hear what he's been doing this whole time? And I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath. I don't think you need to get too angry about that. I don't think you need to get too angry about this.
Okay. Well, my first feeling was betrayal.
Okay.
I felt betrayed. And then I felt relief. And love, because I was relieved to hear the truth, and I wanted Guy to know that I would love him no matter how much time he spends getting. I certainly have spent some time at the bottom of a well. I understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Is that a relief for you to hear, Guy, that Helga's okay with this?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge weight off my shoulders. I've been living this lie for so many years.
So you're going to keep doing that? You're going to keep going back to the fountain?
Well, it's my dream.
It's your dream. I didn't realize it was your dream. I thought it was just sort of how you were making ends meet.
No, I mean, I always dreamed of being self-employed. You know, I always loved the water, so it's like finding treasure.
Okay. All right, I think we're done with that whole thing.
Hey, thank you, Guy. I want you to know that ever since you walked into the door of my delicious house, that it was love at first sight. And when you laid down in that pie, it was marriage. I won't leave you, no matter how many malls you. I'm angry about the lie, but I'm accepting of the truth.
Perfect. That was beautiful. That was a really beautiful response.
Thank you,
Helga.
Yes.
So, is it safe to say that you'll be consuming children for the rest of your life?
Okay. I've never said this out loud. I collect and bake children, and I eat them. A guy eats them. We eat them together in the stew. It's harder and harder these days because everybody's got a cell phone. Yeah. Like, you can track GPS, last known location, so I have to go I have to get like 30, 40 miles away from the house to get dinner.
Oh. Because their parents can track them?
Yeah. It's complicated these days. You also have to, like, tell them to, like, pre-set up, like, auto-release TikToks for, like, weeks later. It's such a hassle.
Exhausting.
It used to be just, come from the village, little girl, come into my little home. I will eat you up. Oh, no, you can't get out. You can't get out. Like, that.
Wow.
It was nice. So, yeah, I have not been entirely forthright with my husband. I am a witch. He's right. And I eat children. Yeah.
But I think what's more fucked up is that Guy also eats them.
Well, he doesn't know. I mean,
he doesn't know.
I mean, he's nonstop dying of children for the last 7 years that we've been together. Yeah.
Guy, this is the first time you're hearing that you've been eating kids this whole time.
Mean, she's always referred to it as her sweet meat. And I was just kind of thought,
wow.
Like, oh, this is some, whatever, this is, I don't know what this is. This is pork or lamb or something. So I just, it's definitely a lot to process right now, realizing that I've been
eating children.
Eating children, like complicit in a murder and dismemberment of scores of missing children.
Hold on. Remember when you told the truth, I said, okay, I love you. You told the truth, and
you're right.
This is a little more extreme, isn't it?
Oh, is it? Who are you to judge?
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Helga. I should not be judging you. It's a lot to take in. But well, thank you for coming clean, and I love you too.
I love you.
I don't really love you. No. Okay, but wait a minute, Guy. Guys, please, no. It is worse. It's worse what she's doing. It is worse. Yours is, it's depressing. It's horrible.
Well,
you know,
you're a hypnotist. I mean, that's what you do. You just, like, people talk to you until they change their minds.
I'm a therapist.
That's hypnotism.
There's a massive difference. How dare you?
How dare you come in here?
How dare you say something like that to me?
I was just waiting for the little watch the whole time. That's why I've been kind of like, I was waiting for that watch to come out and start swinging back and forth. But that's not what you do.
No, did you guys, you came here thinking you were seeing a hypnotist?
Yes.
Yeah.
For the first time in their lives, they have stopped lying. Guy was honest about his job fishing change out of a small fountain inside a dying American mall, and Helga has admitted to feeding Guy children for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They have exposed themselves. They are raw and vulnerable, like a man wearing a t-shirt and no pants. Now I must ask them, where do we go from here?
Can I say, I came in here thinking, you know, we were maybe weeks away from a divorce and my life would be different. But I feel confident that Guy and I are going to be able to make it work.
Yeah, we're going to make it work.
Well, I hope so. There's some very troubling details, but I think, I guess I want to make sure that when you guys see each other, when you come home, that there's a passion and an excitement that might lead also to sex, because no relationship can exist without some form of sex, okay?
So I have a secret wish. Hmm. Since we're confessing, since we're telling the truth, I have a deer's head that I would love him to wear and then to mount me like a wild animal.
Wow, okay, we're getting somewhere.
We're just talking. Look at us, just talking and talking. I can't believe it. These are things I haven't even whispered to my own heart's ear.
And what about you, Guy? Yeah.
What I'd like is, let's get rid of the waterbed.
You guys have a waterbed?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I mean, I fill it up at the fountain at the mall, so it's...
Oh, no.
It's a little cost savings there.
Oh, my God.
But we'll get rid of the waterbed. Mm. Put in a pie tin. Like when we first met.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can lie in that pie tin wearing that deer head and maybe we can have some intimacy.
So you kind of like the idea that she might eat you, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of dangerous.
Yeah, I'll gobble that shit down.
So Guy is okay with the whole eating children thing. Frankly, that's disgusting to me. But who am I to judge? I wear wet socks to bed. But I wonder, will they be able to access the erotic passion they once had for each other's otherness? Sounds like it's time for another exercise.
Okay, let's try this again. Remember that exercise that we did at the beginning?
Yeah.
Where you came... What did you just say?
I'm trying to remember. I can't remember it.
We did a play act. We did a little play acting.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Remember?
I was
all
right.
For a witch, you don't have a good memory.
I'm 950 years old. I'm confused. I'm just learning this. Oh, don't.
You're 950 years old?
Oh, like you
are. How old are you, Guy?
I'm 29 again.
Again?
Yeah, you know. Celebrating that.
That's his cute way of saying he's 31.
I'm 31.
Oh, and you go and fish stuff out of a fountain. All right, let's try this exercise.
Okay.
So here you are, and you're both being honest with each other for the first time about everything. Okay, right. So that means your job, that means what he's about to eat, that means everything. So here we go. Guy, you're coming home from work.
Okay.
I'm chopping up the neighbor's kid. Chop, chop, chop. All day long, bones go crunch and eyes go pop. Into the pot you go.
Honey, I'm home.
Oh,
I smell like chlorine and the Cinnabon icing that some teens dumped on me.
Oh, well, it smells delicious to me. Guess what's for dinner?
What?
Jake Kapler from 4163 Lane. He likes red wagons and his Nintendo Switch.
Wow. Well, I'm hungry. I worked up quite an appetite today, so I'm happy to take down a Kapler kid.
I hope you stay hungry, because I'm hungry too, if you know what I mean.
Oh, wow. Let me put on this deer head.
I'm gonna suck that dick. I'm gonna suck that deer dick. Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Okay. Okay. That was so good. That was so good. I mean, I was...
Oh, I forgot. I forgot. Did you get the parking space, baby?
Yeah, I got the parking space.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. Well, this warms my heart. As disturbing as that was, in parts, the eating, the names of the kids, that you know the names of the ones you're eating.
Yeah, I think later the gravity of what I've been doing will really hit me, and that'll probably be another, you know, maybe a tough moment, but...
If it happens, we'll know who to call. Huh?
That's for sure.
We call Dr. Deep.
No, you only get one session with me. And this isn't, I'm not some kind of hypnotist that you can just call up any time of day to you know, brainwash you, okay?
So you think you can solve everybody's problems in a single session? That's narcissism. If you ask me, that's narcissism.
I know I can. I mean, look at you guys. Cured.
It's true.
Nothing wrong. It's
true.
Cured.
It's true. It's true.
Helga and Guy may never get to the bottom of all the lies. Indeed, every day might bring new and disturbing details about Guy's pathetic life, or the ways in which Helga pan-fries the neighborhood children. But if they continue to be forthright with their partner, I'm positive they will grow stronger and closer with each day that passes. Their love will conquer any boundary. And as I sit back with my dirty martini, let me say that this session, like traveling abroad in another culture, was fucked up.
Check out Dr. Deep's travel guide, Albania, A Girl's Guide to Men and Meat, and her documentary, New Balance Sneakers and Ill-Fitting Jeans, Why American Men Are So Boring, on her GeoCities. Dr. Deep would like to thank Heather Ann Campbell, Nick Weiger, producer and editor Kimmy Gregory, mixer Marina Pais, and Lily Sullivan, who is her greatest inspiration.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
There's a moment you realize you're ready for what's next in your career. Maybe it's when you're trying a new scone recipe and think, I could open a cafe. Or maybe you're helping a coworker and say, I could teach a course on this. Whatever your moment is, it's never too early to plan for a career that lives longer. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. For skills training, resume tips, and job listings, visit aarp.org/work.